Welcome to Growth Uncut, a podcast that interviews different people from around the world to share their views on personal growth. We feel passionately about connecting communities and raising awareness around social justice, humanity and relationships. And today I'm joined again by Cam Stevens. Hi, Cam.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me again.
Oh, no, it's fine. And I think it's quite exciting, isn't it, that we can talk about your journey as it goes, really. And I really wanted to get you involved as we are currently doing podcasts with all of our team, talking about their kind of passions and the things that really matter to them. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Cool. So let's start off. Tell us a little bit about your role in Penal Reform Solutions, or Grow, Transform, Belong, which is our CIC. What's your job with us?
So I am a senior digital consultant. I've got many roles as it goes. I think I wear quite a few hats. My passion is in with the arts. So anything that I can do to help magnify impact through film is like that's where I lie. Got some really great exciting projects coming up this year. In terms of GTB and PRS, I'm really, really excited about the couple of projects on the slate right now. But yeah, what I do, why I'm here in PRS is because it's home, it's a family. I found a place of belonging. And yeah, I honestly believe that we are gonna do something extremely valuable to society very, very soon. Very, very soon. So fantastic team of people, really energetic. Everybody's a leader in their own right and brings so much to the team. So yeah, it's been really, really good so far this year. But in terms of my role, I am the digital reformer for PRS and GTB. I'm going to be doing a lot of promotional content for our socials this year, as well as capturing loads and loads of data so that we can maximize our reach and our impact on the projects that we're doing. So
yeah. Explode our reach. That was our strategic priority this year, wasn't it? That we're going to explode our reach. Yeah. So in terms of film then, so the way you talk about it, it's really clear that it is something you're so passionate about. What is it about film that you love?
I think storytelling is probably one of the oldest arts that there is. You know, they say that every myth comes from some sort of story, you know. For me, I've always been creative, inwardly creative, I'd say. I've got a lot going on in my mind, you know, but I never had found an outlet to focus my energies on. And I feel like I found that in film. Yeah, sorry. It's a little bit crazy, you know, because I just feel like, how did I get here? You know, it was only a few years ago that this was just an idea, something that I wanted to do. But now I find myself like in the mix of like the biggest and the best, which is really, really humbling, but also reinstills that, you know, obviously I'm doing something right. So just really happy to be in this space. I feel like for me, I honestly believe that through digital means you can really give people hope.
Yeah,
that's what I'm really passionate about, and I'm pushing that. I honestly believe that people are desperate right now. You know, everything's just really, really tough out here, you know, especially within corrections. People are struggling to pay their rent and get to work, you know, never mind the guys that are suffering because of inadequate staffing levels and resources. So it's a really, really hard time right now. And I just feel like somebody needs to say something so that these guys don't feel that they're forgotten.
Yeah. And do something, isn't it? I think we talk a lot about the issues and we kind of know what we need to do, but I think the beauty of your films that you've created so far for us is that they are really powerful, and we actively do things with the people in prison so that they create something that can be shown again and again in different ways and has that impact. So I think there's something sustainable about film, isn't there? Like, you can put on a film that you've watched 100 times over and you can relive that, whereas once that moment's gone, it's kind of gone. Whereas if we capture it through film, we can inspire people and we can make an impact, and it can always be replayed. So that's what I kind of love about your work. I love just randomly watching the stuff that you do, you know, and just always thinking, learning something different each time I watch it. And I guess that's the beauty of it, really. So you talk a little bit about, there was a moment from the sounds of it where you suddenly realized you wanted to kind of push your attention into creative digital film mm-hmm. industry stuff.
Yeah.
Can you remember when that was, or was it a collection of things? But what suddenly shifted for you, or what opportunity happened that enabled that to happen?
So for me, that moment came. It was you. It was you, Sarah. It was you. I remember. I think we were in a chapel in prison. And I can't remember what event we were doing, but we were doing some kind of event. And you were asking me what I'm going to do when I get out. And I told you I'm going to go and be a brickie.
I remember.
Do you remember that? Yeah. I said, yeah. No, I've got my MVQs. I'm going to go and be a brickie. And I'm just going to just get a job. And I remember you saying to me, you're not supposed to be a brickie. You're supposed to be a filmmaker. And I guess there was a few occurrences that happened after that that kind of reinforced, like, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be heading, you know, because, you know, I feel like when people are in prison, it's an opportunity, right? Mm. It's an opportunity for you to find yourself, to find your aspirations, and for you to plan and start putting into action who you want to be when you get out. But I think it's an opportunity missed in 99% of establishments. Mm. I feel like what I experienced is very rare in a penal setting. And it just fostered something that's just so powerful that I honestly believe that nothing and no one is going to stop me from achieving what I want to achieve now. And yeah, I think that three things. It was one, you having that conversation with me in the chapel, and I remember going back to my cell and sitting there and ruminating on it for a while. And then I think Professor Gavin Henderson writing me and sending one of his lecturers to come and see an audition. And also when a Bass Bar representative came to the prison to talk to me about what I was doing. On top of that, the governor gave me permission to make a film in prison while I was serving. Now, I guess all of these little, how can I call it, dots, you know, if you line them up, it kind of starts to create a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I was like, okay, this is happening. Oh, yeah, and I've got a scholarship to university from the Longford Trust. I can't forget. How can I forget that? You know? So all of these things said to me, do you know what? Maybe this is the way that you're supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're like getting that recognition from, I guess, all of these different peoples from so many different walks of life who knew nothing about me, kind of instilled in me that maybe I have got a talent.
Mm. Yeah.
I am good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something there about what we see, isn't it? And I think, you know, I reflect on my time in Norway when I went to the Norwegian prisons, and I remember meeting a social worker at Bastøy prison and her saying, you need to think about what you're looking for when you work with people in prison. And I kind of, you know, I didn't quite understand what she was talking about. But when you go to Bastøy, everyone, because they've kind of created an environment of normality, you can't tell who lives there. You can't tell who works there. it just looks like a village, you know, that people are walking around and cycling, and but it's what you see that's important.
Yeah.
And I think growing up, I guess in my younger career in probation,
yeah,
I was kind of inadvertently kind of told that I had to see an offender. I had to see someone who was dangerous or someone who was risky.
Yeah.
And if I didn't do that, it was I was naive and I was at risk. Now, I absolutely get that. I absolutely get the reasons for that. But I think if we think about it from a rehabilitation point of view rather than a risk point of view,
yeah,
we have to see people, and we have to, you know, the minute I met you, I remember meeting you outside your room, and I immediately knew you were a leader. And it's just lovely to see you now in terms of, you know, taking on a real leadership role in the organization, and pretty much, you know, no doubt in my mind, a lifetime that we're going to lead this kind of work together. Mm-hmm. Utilizing our own strengths, isn't it? It's about you doing what you want to do that's going to get you in your element, and seeing you go through that process was just lovely, in terms of the play and in terms of the filming of that, and yeah, just you getting inspired. I've also seen you bricklaying in my garden, and I remember coming in after you doing it for a day, and you just were lying on the ground in yeah. so much pain, like, I don't ever want to bricklay again. So yeah. I'm really glad that maybe there's nothing wrong with bricklaying, but I'm really glad that maybe we kind of thought a bit more ambitiously yeah. about that, really. But yeah, it was a really beautiful moment where I think I've never seen you in so much pain, and I have seen you in quite a lot of pain over the years. But I guess another thing to ask, really, based on what you said earlier, you said right at the beginning, you know, I feel that I belong to PRS, and you absolutely do, and I feel I belong, and I think that we have a sense of belonging as a team. We talk a lot about brotherhood and sisterhood, don't we, and family. I see the people in prison as my kind of brothers and sisters, as well as colleagues and people in the alliance. Mm-hmm. At what point, you know, belonging's really rare, I think, firstly. So I'm really grateful for that. But when did you feel that you belonged to the work that we were doing? Can you remember a story or a moment when that sense of belonging kind of made sense to you, or you realised that you felt that?
I've always felt that. I've always felt valued. I've always felt included, even in a prison setting. Even in a prison setting, I've always felt that. I think that when you asked me to come and work with you when I got released, that was a massive moment for me of feeling of belonging. Because I, you know, that is like inviting somebody into your family, you know. So that was massive for me. And the support that I've had since being out has been vital, I guess, to me staying on a straight and narrow. I feel like without it, without the scholarship that I had, without going to university, without these things, if I just come out a bricklayer, I don't think I would have lasted, because it wasn't for me. You know, I suffer from sciatica, so when my back goes, it goes. And, you know, the longevity of that, it wasn't feasible. But the thing is, in terms of, I guess, creative outlets in prison, there isn't any. You know, you have the Koisler Awards that have maybe 3,000-5,000 entries every year, you know, from people all across the country who are passionate. But the only thing that I could find in prison was bricklaying, right? So I had to just use what was there. And I think that this is a problem with a lot of people that go into custodial settings, is that they don't find what suits them or aligns with them. So their chances of sticking to something what pre-release or post-release is small. And I mean that in like the most not condescending way to the education that's being provided within establishments. But I just feel like they have a square peg approach to education, and not everybody, you can't put circles into square pegs, you know, it's not going to fit for everybody. So yeah, for me, I guess there was a moment where I saw the good out of the project that I've done working with you, and the effect that it had on the community, the staff. That for me was, I think, the most special moment, because it wasn't about me. I think my whole life has always been about me. Poor me, poor me. I've been let down by society, poor me. My parents let me down, poor me. Yeah, I went into care, poor me. I started using drugs, poor me. It's not my fault, it's society's fault. So I've always kind of been really, really angry and self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, I've never done anything that was for others like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that was the first time that I'd actively gone and tried to do something to help a group of people. And yeah, that was really, 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 really exhilarating. Just talking to people and hearing how, what they'd taken away from it.
Yeah.
I think that was massive, massive. And to me, that kind of, it kind of says to me, do you know what? This can be done. This can get rolled out. This can be magnified, you know? There's interest in this. People are looking for meaningful things to do, yeah? Something that's going to bond the bridge between them and us, right? Something that's going to make people just see people and not offenders and prison officers. And I feel like through that experience, I learned a lot about how I can give back and how I can instill hope, you know, in people who might be having a difficult time. So I guess I'm on a mission of self-discovery, but I'm also pushing myself just to show, look, you can turn it around. You really can. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think you talk a little bit about instilling hope, and I kind of reflect when you speak about that around your kind of trips to prison with me post-release. So when you came back in and did some digital work in prison with our growth team at HMP Huell, tell me about that. How did that feel going back into prison? How did that feel talking to the men there, to the growth team, which essentially you were, I guess, you know, years previous to that? What was that experience like for you?
It was an amazing experience. Just one, because I never even thought about, I guess, going back into prisons. Like, who'd want to go back into a prison? Why? You know, that's what people say. They say, once I get out, I'm not coming back. I'm not even coming back to visit you. So to go back, I think, for me, it was really important, just because, I guess, coming out into COVID and being really isolated, don't get to see no one. We talk just to, I guess, be back with my team, you know, because, you know, obviously I went to DCAT for a while, so I was gone from the project where we initially started working, you know, and there was a lot of correspondence back and forth. So to get back and feel connected was like massive. But I think what I saw going back in was disbelief. One, that I'd been to prison and I was actually in there as a professional. Two, that I was on license. And three, that I was in there with a camera. You know, so much trust was bestowed upon me at an early stage, you know, to let me go back in and try and do some work with the guys, as well as the staff, you know. So big shout out to Ralph Lebowski, putting that trust in me and Sarah. And I hope that the fruits are bearing from the work that we're doing there.
What did that mean, do you think? Like, looking at the way in which Ralph, you know, supported growth, but also, yeah, just that decision to do that. What did that mean for you?
For me, it just, to me, it meant that he cared. He cared about people, and he wanted to see the best for the people in his care. And that included the staff and the residents. And that for me is massive, you know. Speaking with him, the challenges that he has to go through on a daily basis, I just have got so much respect for the man. And I think that he is such a good leader. But yeah, it meant the world because, you know, I guess people question you when you take risks, right? But if you don't take these risks and show that these things can be overcome, then it's always going to be a very closed decision-making process. You know, they talk about risk reward. Ralph letting me come back into prison on his part was a risk, you know. Fresh out, 6 months out. Who says that I've really changed? Who says that I'm really going down that path? You know, who says that I'm not going to try and bring something in? The security factors against the, I guess, the hopeful outcomes, they were probably pretty equal from a security point of view, right? It could go left or it could go right. So for me, him giving me that opportunity and that trust, it just said to me, do you know what? Keep going. This is where you're supposed to be. This is where you're going to make an impact. This is where you're going to feel valued and included and not judged.
Yeah. And I guess there's something out there, maybe another question for me, just in terms of going into prison and meeting the guys that I guess are in there, kind of living out the same kind of challenges that you experience, but also having opportunities to kind of carry out kind of growth work, so cultural reform work. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Like, we've got one of our guys who just got parole. He just got parole after a really long time. Another one of our guys has just gone to Cat D, so open conditions. How does that feel? So when you found out that one of our guys is getting out shortly, what does that feel like from your perspective, having been in his shoes in some kind of way, you know?
I was just overjoyed because he'd been away for far too long. Far too long. And I know that, yeah, there's a good man, you know, who made a mistake, who just wanted to go and be with his family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking with him, knowing, I guess, his struggles over the last decade plus, and really just having that empathy, you know, because like I said, I've been in that situation, not for as long as that. I don't know what my mental capacity would be like, you know, if I'd be able to hold it together for that long. So yeah, it just, I just felt so happy. It was just like the best news all month. After, I don't think I could have got any better news that I'd put a smile on my face. But also it filled me with worry at the same time, you know, because being away for so long, so much has changed over that amount of time. And it just makes me feel like what kind of support was put in place for him to enter this new world.
Yeah.
And it kind of fills me with a bit of dread as well, because it is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, you know, everything's gone digital, online, right? You can't just walk into a place and say, can I have a job now? And if you haven't got digital literacy, yeah, you're going to get lost out here, really, really going to struggle. So, it's just a glimmer of hope for me. You know, the fact that he got released is just like amazing. It is amazing. And I know that PRS is going to be there to support him.
Absolutely.
He's keen to come in and do some work with us as well. I know he feels that sense of belonging as well, just like all the rest of the guys when they get out and they get in touch or they email, they say hi sir, just to let you know.
Yeah.
It's like everybody that we come into contact with, they feel that sense of belonging, that you know what, these people see me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important, because when you see people take off their masks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people show you their real selves if you give them a space or safety. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think I share those feelings, but yeah, it's the most incredible feeling to get a phone call or get an email from someone when they first come out of prison, you know, when you pick that phone up and you don't know who's on the other end and they're like, oh, sir. It's whoever, and you're just like, it's just incredible. It is just such a great feeling to know that they're out, and then the reality kicks in, doesn't it? That second part, which you kind of, I worry as well, as you know, I worry a lot about all of the guys that are and girls that are out, who are part of our family, because there's only so much we can do, but we do an awful lot. We do as much as we can, and they know that we're always here, irrespective of what happens. And I think that's the difference, isn't it, sometimes, that we are unconditional, that we're not fair weather, we don't reject people, or we will always be there no matter what. And I think that's rare within criminal justice, because you're normally, you know, kicked into a prison, recalled, breached, whatever that looks like, which I don't think is very conducive to growth. You know, either win or we learn. That's what Nelson Mandela says, you know. So your hopes for the future. Now, I appreciate we could have a whole podcast on our hopes, and we will be launching our vision very soon. That's still in design. Well, it's not in design. we're just trying to articulate it in a way that doesn't that makes sense and that's really clear. So, but your hopes for yourself, your hopes for PRS or GTB, what are your hopes for the future?
My hopes, let me see. I've got so many. I hope that we continue to grow, to empower people within the criminal justice, to give people hope, and to create new initiatives that help people to habilitate.
Mm. Yes.
There's so much going on. I just want to go.
I know.
I just really chose my words really, like, yeah, precisely. Yeah. But yeah, I just hope also that, I guess, organizations see the work that we're doing and want to emulate the good work and the good practice that PRS has instilled in so many organizations that they're working with, you know. So I just hope that this year is the year that we explode growth.
Mic drop. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you say, it's about reach. It's about bravery is our word this year, isn't it? We're going to be brave in terms of getting out there and speaking with people and collaborating and partnering. And anyone's welcome to belong, I guess, isn't it? That we're going to be opening our reach in terms of anyone who wants to be part of it, who has something to give, then we're absolutely here. We're very much here to serve our communities, serve our people. Thank you so much. It's so nice to have our chat. It's really precious to have just a bit of a moment downtime amongst all the chaos. That is, you know, good chaos, organized chaos. But yeah, we've got a lot going on at the minute, so it's really nice to sit back and reflect and yeah, remember some of the moments. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Fantastic. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you want any more information about what we do, please check out our website. So www.penalreformsolutions.com or www.growtransformbelong.com. If you want to get in touch with Cam, you can email him on Cam with a K, K-A-M at growtransformbelong.com, or you can email me, Sarah at penalreformsolutions.com. And then we're also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So please follow us, share, retweet, do as much as you can. And if you are listening to this and want to get involved, please do get in touch with us via our website or email. And if you can think of others that might benefit from listening and getting involved, please also share openly and outwardly. We would really appreciate that. Okay, that's it for now, and I will see you next time, but thank you for listening.